It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Nahum, we are teaching a series on the book of Nahum, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The book of Nahum, written between 663 BC and 612 BC. The book of Nahum, written by the prophet Nahum, which means comfort, consolation. It means to console. And the prophet Nahum comforted, consoled, and brought consolation to the tribe of Judah in the south and the remnants of the nation of Israel that remained after its captivity in the northern kingdom. This comfort is particularly directed toward God's vengeance and divine justice towards the Assyrian Empire, particularly the capital of Nineveh. The Assyrian Empire, the Ninevites, brought terror, cruelty, oppression for centuries to the nation of Israel, and now God is bringing comfort in the form of his divine justice and judgment by the words of Nahum. The book of Nahum was written approximately 100 years after the prophecy of Jonah. As a result, the book of Nahum is often called Jonah Part 2. This is because Jonah preached to the Ninevites to repent, or destruction was coming their way. And the Ninevites, the capital of Assyria, the oppressors of Israel, repented, and God spared them for the next generation. However, after that generation, the Assyrian Empire went back to its cruel, inhumane ways, and as a result, judgment was coming by the mouth of Nahum the prophet. This teaches us that it is not enough to start the road and journey with the Lord, but to be faithful and finish that particular journey. We see this example in the city of Ephesus, how Paul the apostle founded the Ephesian church in Acts chapter 19 in the mid-50s AD. Paul continued and wrote an epistle to the Ephesians, who were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in 64 AD. However, in the mid-90s AD, approximately 35 some odd years after their conversion, Jesus Christ, in chapter 2, tells the Ephesian church to repent or be judged. This teaches us, just like the city of Nineveh, that they started out on the journey through repentance, believing in the Lord, but after a generation, they turned back to their ways and were under the thumb of potential judgment. We must be faithful to the end, and we must also pass on the goodness of the Lord to the next generation. For if we do not pass on God's goodness and salvation through Jesus Christ to the next generation, then the next generation individuals or the next generation empires or nations that are trusting in the Lord will turn away from the Lord if we don't pass it on. And they too will turn away as Nineveh and as Ephesus did in the scriptures. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. Scripture teaches, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This book of Nahum is a prophecy of judgment against the capital Nineveh of the Assyrian Empire. This Assyrian Empire came to power approximately 1900 BC in northern Mesopotamia. After a brief rise in power, the Babylonians took control for several centuries. After the Babylonian Empire fell in the mid-1300s BC and stayed in power as the world dominant empire until approximately 612 BC. This Assyrian Empire was being judged for its inhumanity. The Assyrian Empire was cruel. It was ravenous and dealt with plunder, drunkenness, and violence. This Assyrian Empire would pile heaps of skulls in the city of its captors. This Assyrian Empire would impale its defeated enemies on stakes. This Assyrian Empire was known for its cruelty. This is the Assyrian Empire, as outlined as one of the historical world empires, as listed in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, and the book of Revelation chapter 17. This Assyrian Empire rose to great power, dominating the sea, trade, and commerce. It was known for its grandeur and invulnerability, and as a result, was very prideful and arrogant. The capital of Nineveh was the size of modern-day London, known for its great towers, hundreds of feet high and hundreds of feet wide, where at least three chariots can ride on the towers side by side. This Assyrian Empire for centuries dominated the Fertile Crescent and the known world, and were oppressors to the nation of Israel, taking them into captivity approximately 721 BC, according to 2 Kings chapters 17 and 18. By King Shalmaneser. At that time, the northern tribes of Israel, taken into captivity, left just Judah, Benjamin, and several remnants from the northern kingdom alone and vulnerable to further domination. This is the teaching on the book of Nahum, chapter 1. Part 1, verse number 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. Here in verse 1, we see the burden of Nineveh. This is the woe of Nineveh, the judgment of Nineveh, the curse of judgment upon Nineveh. This word burden also means woe. It means impending doom is coming if an individual does not turn from their ways. Verse 1 also speaks of Nahum the Elkoshite. This city of Elkosh represents many locations in history. Tradition teaches that Nahum was from the city of Elkosh, which is in Galilee. The New Testament speaks of Capernaum, which is the city of Nahum. This may be the same city represented by the prophet Nahum. Verses 2 and 3. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Here in verse 2, this is speaking of God's divine jealousy. This is not speaking of human jealousy. This is speaking of God's jealousy as being exclusive, where God wants no other gods before him, where he wants us all to himself. This is different from envy. Jealousy is healthy and speaks of exclusiveness, as if I am jealous of my wife to be all to myself. Envy is harmful, where individuals may envy another individual's wife. God is jealous to be exclusive to himself. And as a result of the nation empire of Assyria that was fallen into idolatry and cruelty and serving other gods, God's jealousy reached a limit, and now judgment is coming. Scripture teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, that Paul was jealous with a godly jealousy of the Corinthians. He wanted the Corinthians to know and experience the exclusiveness of an intimate relationship with the Lord. This word jealousy is a healthy word in the context of exclusiveness in Scripture. Verse 2 speaks of the vengeance of God, the divine justice of God over individuals that oppress the innocent. The Assyrian Empire oppressing the nation of Israel, for example. This Scripture in verse 2 speak of God's divine justice, his divine vengeance, his recompense. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6 speaks of this in context, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Scripture teaches in 2 Peter 2 verses 5 through 9 that God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. This Scripture in verse 2, with these scriptures just quoted, speak of God's divine justice, his divine vengeance, his recompense, his righteous judgment against those that have been oppressing the innocent. Righteous Lot was delivered from wicked Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodom and Gomorrah was judged. Noah was delivered from the world of unrighteousness through the ark, and God judged that world in the flood. The nation of Israel was delivered from the Assyrian Empire, and God judged the Assyrian Empire. Verse number 3 speaks of a contrast with God's judgment, how he's long-suffering and slow to anger. Psalm 103 verse 8 teaches, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Psalm 145 verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Verses 2 and 3 are a contrast, teaching that God is long-suffering, but not all-suffering, and at some point he will judge. Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7, give this context by saying, the Lord descended in a cloud, stood with Moses there, proclaimed the name of the Lord, and the Lord passed by and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. So here a contrast, God is merciful and long-suffering, but at some point, He will judge. I was approached by a young minister who went astray and obtained a girlfriend and lived with this individual outside of marriage. And he came to me and said that she and him are in love and that God will still love them. And my response was, it is true that God loves you no matter what, but God will also judge you because His nature is holy and He is a just and righteous judge. And at some point, there's always a day of reckoning. Scripture teaches, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If a man soweth to the flesh, of the flesh he shall reap corruption. If a man soweth to the Spirit, of the Spirit he shall reap life everlasting. Verses 4 through 6. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? The fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Here in verses 4 through 6, we see the omnipotence and the almighty power of God in holiness and in judgment. In verses 4 through 5, and throughout the scriptures, there's demonstrations of the omnipotence of God. So here in verses 4 through 5, we see in the scriptures that he rebukes the sea. Psalm 104 verse 7, that he makes it dry. Exodus chapter 14 verse 12, that he dries up rivers. Joshua 3:17, that he sends famine. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. That the mountains quake. Exodus chapter 19, verse 18. And they melt like fire. Genesis 19:24. 1 Kings 19:12. So here in verses 4 through 5, and throughout the scriptures, there's demonstrations of the omnipotence of God. And as a result, verses 3 through 5 speaks of images of a storm, oceans, rivers, forests and fields, mountains and earthquakes, and a great earth upheaval. This is also speaking symbolically that God's judgment comes through supernatural phenomena and supernatural weather. We see this displayed during the Great Tribulation, where God will use great earthquakes, mountains being shaken to its very foundation, molten lava spewing out from the cracks and fissures of the earth, tsunamis, tidal waves, avalanche, floods, hurricanes, and such like. God using supernatural weather and supernatural phenomenon to judge nations and to judge in the future great tribulation. And as a result, in verse 6, the question is raised, who can stand before him with this power displayed in verses 4 through 5? The Assyrian Empire, through their arrogance, thought that they could stand up against the power of God. This is the teaching on the book of Nahum, chapter 1, part one. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to bow your head and pray this prayer with me today. This prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you pray this prayer with me today? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.